two.
Greetings, Earthlings. I'm Jose Santana.
And I'm Apollo Black.
And this is Consumed by TV,
the podcast that brings you breakdown Easter eggs and hidden gems you might have missed at first glance.
On today's episode, we will be discussing Not Dead Yet, an ABC original comedy.
All right, I'm down. I'm ready to listen, to learn, and if I have any questions, I'm going to ask. So start us off, Jose, what's the show about?
All right, so Not Dead Yet is a half-hour comedy on ABC created by Casey Johnson and David Windsor. I don't know if I'm saying their last name correct. It is starring Gina Rodriguez as the main protagonist, Nell Serrano, who basically is back home after living in London for 5 years, after following the love of her life, who she was supposed to marry, and that went to crap. So now she's back home trying to literally pick up as if she never left, and it is just like she can't get it together for anything. She's trying so hard to act as if the past 5 years didn't happen and as if things haven't changed. She's basically in denial.
Keep going. I
what happened?
Just a joke on the side.
Okay.
I'm recording, but I forgot to switch the scene. So the video is just at the starting menu.
Oh. So the video not recording? All right, it's audio today, folks.
Continue with the episode.
So also the series also stars Hannah Simone as Sam, Nell's best friend. Hannah Simone was Cece in New Girl, if you watch New Girl. Lauren Ash as Lexi, Nell's former colleague and now boss, who I believe her title is like editor of the newspaper. I don't know. I just know she's their boss. Dina in Superstore, if you've seen Superstore.
Yeah, of course.
And then it is also starring Joshua Banday. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his last name correct, as Dennis, Nell's friend and now boss to her. So like the boss is Lexi, and then her boss is Dennis.
Okay.
And then her best friend Sam, who's editor of the lifestyles section of the newspaper. So they work for a newspaper company in 2023.
Okay.
Lexi's dad owns the company, which is why she is the editor or the overall boss, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what the head honcho is in newspaper called.
The chief.
There we go. Thank you. Yeah. Is it editor in chief or just chief? I don't know.
I mean, it could be editor in chief, but they're just called chiefs. Like every show you call, be like, hey, chief. And they'll be like, I need today's report in by yesterday.
And then it also stars Angela E. Gibbs, a new friend of Nell's who owns a wine bar. We will circle back to that because it's a full circle at the end of this episode. So it basically starts off like Nell. We wake up to see Nell in her new apartment with her new roommate. I forget the roommate's name, and for some reason, I did not write his name down in my notes for anything. But he is either recurring or like also starring type.
Okay.
But his name slips me. Not important at the moment. It picks up where like a bunch of newspapers are getting dropped off in front of the apartment, and she starts the show with like a narration. She says, after 15 years as a journalist, it is important to grab the reader's attention with a catchy headline. She states hers would be, Local Woman 37 Ruins Own Life.
Okay.
And this is where you learn, 5 years ago, she gave up her promising career at her job that she got back to move to London for a man. Now she's back home and trying to stay hydrated, i.e. she's getting lit. She's getting drunk every night.
Okay.
She's depressed, guys. Trying to pick up where she left off, and she acts as if she never left, but it's not that simple because she's back home living with a roommate she found off Craigslist. Again, Craigslist 2023.
Yeah, for real. You're talking about a show that takes place in 2023, but it sounds like we're in like 2012.
I know, but and to be fair, it's like Nell's 37 turning 38, so I guess it is what it is. I would have been like Facebook Marketplace.
Old habits die hard, I guess.
I guess I'm like, who still uses Craigslist? The roommate from Nell's perspective that we know of for now is he's passive aggressive and makes her walk his dog. That was the agreement she agreed on when signing the lease.
Okay.
We later learned it's because he is on the spectrum. I believe they say he has Asperger's, which he says means a lot of different things to different people, but for him, he needs order and structure in his life. He's also an environmental lawyer. She is late to her first day back to work. Her best friend, Sam, tells everyone her phone is still set to UK time and that she was donating blood. She says, "Can I just tell everyone I'm hungover? Because I am." She and Sam walk through the office and like Sam starts taking stuff off other people's desks. She's like, "I got you a plant because something. I've got you these pens because your birthday and you're turning another year older. Blah, blah, blah. All these things." Really quick side note. The person she takes the plant from, like that background slash day actor, I follow him on TikTok.
Oh, yeah?
So it was cool to see him because he is an actor in real life and he's been in other things like guest starring roles. So it was cool to see him on this. Anyways. So as she's walking through the office, her and Sam, Dennis meets up with them. They have like they're all friends. So it's like a little banter moment. And then it's like Dennis and Sam go at each other a little bit, like just banter, nothing serious, just playful banter. And it's like, is it weird? Then he goes to Nell, is it weird that I'm your boss now? And then Nell says, it's weird that either of you are bosses to anyone. And then when she asks where she's being assigned to, crime beat, whatever beat, he says, dead beat. And then she's like, obituary? She does not like that answer. But that's where she has to start because, she left her career and now she's starting over. I don't know what she did those 5 years in London, but yeah. It cuts to a scene after she finds out she's in obituary to her and Sam getting coffee outside their workplace. As they get their coffee and sit down, we see Lexi walk by, but she calls her Scotch Tape.
Okay, that's funny. Hey, yo, Scotch Tape.
Yeah, and then Sam says we can't call her Scotch Tape anymore. She's our boss, and also she and I have become work friends. Yeah. No, does not like that. I just want to point out, Nell is very spirally. Okay. And, like, she's trying so hard not to discuss the fact that her engagement broke off, she's no longer getting married, and she's back home starting over. So all this new information about things changing, she's not handling it well at all. She gets better, but it cuts to, like, it's quickly cuts to next scenes a lot. That's the only thing I didn't like about this episode. It gets, like, the episodes onwards are a little bit better, but this feels like so, like, it went from her learning that she's an obituary to boom, that her and Sam are getting coffee, cut to she's back home after a work day. So as she's back home in her apartment, she's eating a box of chocolate. She assumes her roommate, who she calls passive aggressive, got for her because it's her birthday, but in reality it's for his girlfriend that he was going to bring her because he was driving, I want to say, up to San Diego to see her. Okay. I'm not good with geography. Oh my gosh. Anyway, later that night they go out to a bar to celebrate Nell's birthday because she's turning 38. It's supposed to be her, Sam, and Dennis, but an unexpected guest stops by, their boss, Lexi. So that's a turn of events. But before that happens, she's at the bar waiting for them, and like she's talking to this old guy, and she's like, "You young people are so glued to your phone." And she's like, "I'm sorry, I'm trying to see if my ex would text me or message me or whatever, happy birthday," but he hasn't. And he's like, "You know, the best way to get over someone is to get under someone."
Oh, the age old saying.
Yep. So then she kind of just like, thanks for the wise advice or whatever. And then that's when they walk in, and when she looks back, he's gone. Blah, blah, blah. So as they're taking shots, getting lit, Lexi and Dennis are doing a karaoke thing. Like, they're duetting together with karaoke. And that's when Nell goes, "I didn't realize how close you and Lexi are. You guys are actually friend." She's like, "Yeah, we are." We also learned that Sam and Lexi potted together during COVID for a week. So, like, you know, they're good friends. Like, they're and their kids. They were for a whole week. And that's when Sam told Lexi, like, got real with her. And it's like, you can be a lot. You're out of touch with the everyday people because she's Lexi's rich. So like, Sam brings her down to earth.
Keeps her grounded. Which is
cool. Keeps her grounded. Like, she's still Lexi. But her and Sam have this connection, and like, Nell doesn't like that. So after they're done, Dennis and Lexi are done karaoke. She goes, "Woo, give it up for Scotch Tape and Dennis." And then Lexi's like, "Who's Scotch Tape? You are, you know, because you're so stuck up. And at one point, you yelled so loud across the bullpen, you sounded Scottish. Come on." And then she starts laughing. "Come on, you think it's funny? It's funny." And Lexi's like, "Excuse me, I've got to grab my bag," and leaves. And then Nell was just like, "Let's take shots." And obviously the night dies down because of that. So she's back home drinking more for her hard seltzers. And all of a sudden, who's in her apartment? The guy that she was talking to at the bar.
How'd he get there?
He's a ghost. He's dead. He's, I bypassed this.
What?
Her first obituary is of Monty Waxberg, some guy who died whose most famous thing is a bubblegum jingle he made up. But that's who she was talking to at the bar, and that's who's at her apartment. She can see the ghost of the people she's writing the obituaries for. What? We don't know why. There's no like explanation as of yet that I watched of why she can see them. But we've come to like, by the end of the episode, you come to the conclusion they're there because they have semi-unfinished business, nothing too major.
Maybe she's the type of medium that's the type of
empath. And they're kind of
connect with them on a certain level, certain waves. She can see their dead bodies. She's writing their obituary. She has to connect with them.
Yeah, so like, they're there for like one final minor unfinished business, like something they want to do before they're gone. And then they kind of teach her a lesson along the way. So this entire episode, she really is in a spiral, like, depressed. Like, as much as she's trying to have it together, she doesn't. But so she freaks out that she sees him, and she's like, I don't see dead people, because she realizes who it is. You're the guy I'm supposed to write the obituary for. So she's like, I'm going to my room, and I'm putting all my boxes in front of the door. And then it cuts to her waking up the next morning, and he's laying next to her in bed. He's like, "Good morning." She freaks out again, grabs the vacuum, like she's trying to suck up the ghost. Her roommate knocks on the door, like, "What's going on?" And that's when Monty says, "By the way, you're the only one who can see me." And then he goes, the roommate says, "Are you going to clean up all those blown up condoms?" Because I guess during that process, she was just blowing up condoms because she was so drunk. She's like, "Of course I am. What do you think the vacuum's for?"
She's gonna vacuum up all the
condoms. Yeah. So then Nell decides to go for a walk. She's still in her pajamas, still like disheveled, however you say the word. She's going for a walk, and the ghost is following her. She goes off on the ghost, saying that he had a miserable life. He's had a miserable life, and she's like, "You're a twice divorced musician who wrote one jingle that made her hate bubblegum." He then tells her, "I've been around you for 24 hours and you're no prize," that she drinks too much, she's jealous of other people's happiness, and she runs away when things get tough. And after he says that, she walks away, and he's like, "You see, you're running away." She was trying to call Sam, but missed her call, so Sam left a voicemail saying, "Last night was a lot. Lexi's our boss now, and more importantly, she's been a really good friend to me. You need to find a way to apologize to her." So as that's going down, Nell and the ghost are going back and forth still a little bit, and then she listens to the voicemail. We cut to, I'm telling you, they cut, like, I get it. It isn't like choppy, but I'm just like, I guess to me, the scenes feel a little bit too quick, and then all of a sudden we're on the next scene.
So they do too many transitions?
I get it, because they're trying to tell the whole story, but I feel like this, I don't know, I just think it could have been less transitions and more of like building the characters in this episode, because we really only learn about Nell and get snippets of the others. Like, we really don't know much about Dennis at this point in the pilot. We know Sam.
Maybe the pilot was built that way for a reason, and the next couple of episodes will be character building. Maybe they were trying to put in so much that way they didn't have to rush the ending episodes.
Yeah, which is, I can see that's how it's going, but I also feel like where it's starting isn't where the series will like end or become.
Okay.
Like, I feel like it's still finding its footing, but in a good way, because they technically, let me look it up. They had, like, the most, it was the most watched comedy in, like, 4 years on ABC, apparently.
Okay.
Which was, I'm like, yeah, I'm like, what? Because, oh, so, side note, this, so, Home Economics ended. It was cut short, so they could premiere this show for the mid-season premiere.
That's why it hasn't been an episode.
Yeah, Home Economics season finale was that earthquake episode. But this, even before, like, ABC already knew they're only giving Home Economics 13 episodes this season, regardless. Not even because of this, not dead yet, just in general. So that's why, like, either it would have been a season finale, a mid-season finale, or whatever. But, and or hope not series finale.
Excuse me.
But yeah, Not Dead Yet became ABC's most watched comedy debut in over 4 years when it premiered on February 8th.
That's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't know, unless it stays consistent, maybe it'll automatically get a season two, but it's a cute show and I get it. I feel like, I think they're trying to lean into comedy more, and I think it needs to be more of a comedy drama. Because when it gets to the little serious moments, it's really good. But then it's like, you can see it's trying to be more funny than like sad, which I get. But also, you're doing a show about writing obituaries, you know?
Yeah, I kind of get it. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Yeah.
And the title sequence is, it says like, not grown up enough, not this enough, not this, blah, blah, blah. And then then the last one you'll see is Not Dead Yet type thing. So it's like, not this yet, not this yet, or, and then Not Dead Yet is like, it's cute, I get it, but anywho, I'm getting sidetracked.
No, you're talking about the show, that's a good thing.
I know. So
you're informing me.
Nell goes to apologize to Lexi. Half-assed apology. Lexi calls it out. And then, like, she's like, I brought you donuts. And then she's like, are you sure these aren't for the break rooms? A few of them have bites taken out of them because it said break room on the box.
Okay.
And then, so, like, after the half-ass apology, Lexi's like, obviously you have something to say, so say it. And Nell's like, no, it's okay. So Lexi's like, let's play a game. We each have 30 seconds to tell each other whatever we want. No repercussions. So that's when basically they tell each other how they feel and the truth comes out. Nell basically just goes on this whole thing. And basically, like, I don't think you're a good enough to be Sam's friend. It's just a whole spiel. And then Lexi's like, you had a promising career and threw it away to follow love. She like basically reads her. Cause she's like, I didn't want to hire you back. It was Dennis begged and I said no. And it wasn't until Sam said, you really need this. And I said, yes, you have this job because she's my friend, but you'll lose this job if you mess up. Type thing. Like she'll be the first one to go.
To me, it sounds like a toxic trait.
Nah, I mean, you got to watch it.
It sounds toxic.
I didn't like write verbatim their whole like little qualm because I was like, I don't want to spoil it too much, but it's not bad because like Nell tells her stuff
dedicated to spoilers. If you haven't watched the show yet and you're listening to the podcast, that's your problem.
But also, maybe I mean, like, I want you to watch it. So
I'm gonna watch it. It's on my list. But remember, I'm also doing episodes. Watching the shows on my side and writing about them too. So like, we're getting the best of both worlds because you're doing like comedies and dramas and TV series, and I'm doing Marvel and this and that and Disney and all this other stuff. So we're getting this before, but it's on my list.
It's good. I would like to see where it goes. But anyways, after this little back and forth, we're back at Nell's apartment and she's realizing. I think she's realizing, but she's not letting it sit that like that she can't pick up where she left off, that things have changed and she can't just jump back into her promising career that she had. She's got to start over. Saying a whole lot of things, and then Monty, he's there, and he's like, I can't listen to you whine and complain anymore. He's like, I'm either going to smother you with that pillow, because she has a pillow over her head at this point, or we're going to go out. And then she just says, smother me, and then we cut to them at a restaurant. Nella's second guessing why they're there, because she's alone, and she's like, I think everyone's judging me and looking at me like, why is she here in this beautiful restaurant all alone? Then that's kind of like where they have a heartfelt moment, because she's like, my life's a mess, and he's like, that's okay, my life was a mess for X amount of years, I really didn't get it together until then, until this time frame. I met my wife, I did this, I did that. And then we realize why Monty actually wants to go there, because his wife's there. So
interesting.
Yeah, because he's like, look at that lady over there. She's enjoying herself and just living her life. But Nell makes a little slide comment, like, yeah, with that atrocious necklace she had on. And Monty's like, or she could be wearing it because her husband gave it to her. And that's when Nell realized, that's your wife. And then she doesn't break down crying. She just starts tearing. I was like, I'm so sorry. I can't seem to get it together. And Monty's like, I would love to tell her, I wish I had the chance to tell her one last time how beautiful she looks. And then, so, Nell decides to go up and be like, this might be weird, but I just want to let you know you look beautiful and your necklace is beautiful. And she's like, this necklace, basically sentimenting what Nell felt. This necklace is hideous, but my husband gave it to me. And it reminds me of him and it brings me peace.
That's cute.
And then that's when Nell's like, this might be a weirder question. Do you mind if I join you for a glass of wine? And she's like, only if you make it tequila. And they introduce, she's like, so I'm Nell. And then she goes, I'm Cricket. Cricket's her new friend she makes, who has the wine bar.
Okay.
And then so they're drinking and talking, and then we get a monologue, and then we realize the monologue is her writing Monty's obituary. And then because they're back at the office the next day, as she's finishing it up and her boss is reading it, he said, I'm not going to tell you it's great or whatever, because then you're going to want to start a union. I'm just going to upload it. And then Monty's there too. She's like, don't let those kind words get to you, old man. But then she looks and he's gone. He's moved on, is what I'm going to assume. There's never a moment where I see a light thing like Ghost Whisperer. They fade away. And then that's when he goes, but also just during this montage, you see a little bit of all the characters, and that's when you learn that Nell and Cricket are now new friends because they went out another night together.
Okay.
Then after she hands him the obit, he's like, you have another obit. It's of this one lady, and then she pops up. And then Nell's like, okay. And then the episode ends. I watched part of the second episode. So from the first to the second episode, I believe it's been a few weeks because she's got more of a handle on the ghosts coming in and out of her life, because they do a little montage of all the ghosts that she's seen so far. But I like the show. I think the pilot was good. I don't think it was the strongest pilot, but from what I've seen so far with the other episodes, it's each episode gets better.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like a really good show and it sounds funny. And I kind of see where you were. As you're explaining it to me and you're breaking it down for me, I can see where it should be a comedy drama and it should lean towards the drama side, especially when it has such sentimental and surreal moments, especially the moment where before he fades away and he tells her to tell her the words to tell his wife or his ex-wife because he's dead. But I see it, I get it, it's a comedy. But there should be a line there where it'd be like, yes, we're a comedy drama, because in some moments like this, a sweet, heartfelt moment, whereas there's no funny business about it, it's just sweetheart, and it makes you touch yourself, you know?
Tugs at your heartstrings.
Yeah, it pulls at your
heartstrings. Especially with Gina Rodriguez from Jane the Virgin. But Yeah, it's really good. I like it. Also, there's a few more guest stars, but a fun guest star, I think it's like in episode 4, Brittany Snow guest stars. And they starred in the Netflix movie, Someone Great. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. It's like a
breakup. I've seen like 15
minutes of it. Such a good movie, dude. It's a breakup movie, but it's such a good movie.
I'll probably have to check it out again.
That one was...
I'll have to sit down and finish it, honestly.
Yeah, it was a good movie. Yeah, right, yeah, Someone Great on Netflix. But yeah, so I thought that was cool because it's like a little reunion between them two. But that's not dead yet. It premiered February 8th. I believe it's, since it is a mid-season replacement, they're probably going to have 10 to 13 episodes this season, the most. I don't think we'll find out if it gets renewed till like the end of the season. Because no shows so far besides Abbott Elementary have been renewed for next season. So,
right.
That's my notes on the pilot episode. It comes out Wednesdays at 9:30, 8:30 Central, or you can stream the next day on Hulu.
There you go. All right, Hulu, we'll be right back. We'll be right back with the second part of this episode. See you then.
Greetings, Earthlings. I'm Jose Santana.
And I'm Apollo Black.
And this is Consumed by TV,
the podcast brings you breakdown Easter eggs ahead and gems you might have missed at first glance.
On today's episode, we will be discussing Not Dead Yet, an ABC original comedy.
All right. I'm down. I'm ready to listen, to learn, and if I have any questions, I'm going to ask. So start us off, Jose. What's the show about?
All right, so Not Dead Yet is a half-hour comedy on ABC created by Casey Johnson and David Windsor. I don't know if I'm saying their last name correct. It is starring Gina Rodriguez as the main protagonist, Nell Serrano, who basically is back home after living in London for 5 years, after following the love of her life, who she was supposed to marry, and that went to crap. So now she's back home, trying to literally pick up as if she never left, and it is just like she can't get it together for anything. She's trying so hard to act as if the past 5 years didn't happen and as if things haven't changed. She's basically in denial.
Keep going. I
what happened?
Just a joke on the side.
Okay.
I'm recording, but I forgot to switch the scene. So, the video is just at the starting menu.
Oh. So, the video not recording? All right. It's audio today, folks.
Continue with the episode.
So, also, the series also stars Hannah Simone as Sam, Nell's best friend. Hannah Simone was Cece in New Girl, if you watch New Girl. Lauren Ash as Lexi, Nell's former colleague and now boss, who I believe her title is like editor of the newspaper. I don't know. I just know she's their boss. Dina in Superstore, if you've seen Superstore.
Yeah, of course.
And then it is also starring Joshua Banday. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his last name correct, as Dennis, Nell's friend and now boss to her. So like, okay, the boss is Lexi, and then her boss is Dennis.
Okay.
And then her best friend, Sam, who's editor of the lifestyles section of the newspaper. So they work for a newspaper company in 2023.
Okay.
Lexi's dad owns the company, which is why she is the editor or the overall boss, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what the head honcho is in newspaper called.
The chief.
There we go. Thank you. Yeah. Is it editor in chief or just chief? I don't know.
I mean, it could be editor in chief, but they're just called chiefs. Like every show you call, be like, hey, chief. And they'll be like, I need today's report in by yesterday.
And then it also stars Angela E. Gibbs, a new friend of Nell's who owns a wine bar. We will circle back to that because it's a full circle at the end of this episode. So this basically starts off like Nell we wake up to see Nell in her new apartment with her new roommate. I forget the roommate's name, and for some reason, I did not write his name down in my notes for anything. But he is either recurring or, like, also starring type.
Okay.
But his name slips me. Not important at the moment. It picks up where, like, a bunch of newspapers are getting dropped off in front of the apartment, and she starts the show with, like, a narration. She says, after 15 years as a journalist, it is important to grab the reader's attention with a catchy headline. She states hers would be, Local Woman 37 Ruins Own Life.
Okay.
And this is where you learn, 5 years ago, she gave up her promising career at her job that she got back to move to London for a man. Now she's back home and trying to stay hydrated, i.e. she's getting lit. She's getting drunk every night.
Okay.
She's depressed, guys. Trying to pick up where she left off, and she acts as if she never left, but it's not that simple. Because she's back home living with a roommate she found off Craigslist. Again, Craigslist? 2023.
Yeah, for real. You're talking about a show that takes place in 2023, but it sounds like we're in, like, 2012.
I know, but, and to be fair, it's like, Nell's 37, turning 38, so I guess it is what it is. I would have been like, Facebook Marketplace?
Old habits die hard, I guess.
I guess. I'm like, who still uses Craigslist? The roommate, from Nell's perspective that we know of for now, is he's passive-aggressive and makes her walk his dog. That was the agreement she agreed on when signing the lease.
Okay.
We later learn it's because he is on the spectrum. I believe they say he has Asperger's, which he says means a lot of different things to different people, but for him, he needs order and structure in his life. He's also an environmental lawyer. She is late to her first day back to work. Her best friend, Sam, tells everyone her phone is still set to UK time and that she was donating blood. She says, can I just tell everyone I'm hungover? Because I am. She and Sam walk through the office, and, like, Sam starts taking stuff off other people's desks. She's like, I got you a plant because something. I've got you these pens because your birthday and you're turning another year older. Blah, blah, blah. All these things. Really quick side note. The person she takes the plant from, like, that background slash day actor, I follow him on TikTok.
Oh, yeah?
So it was cool to see him because he is an actor in real life and he's been in other things, like guest starring roles. So it was cool to see him on this. Anyways. So as she's walking through the office, her and Sam, Dennis meets up with them. They have, like, they're all friends. So it's like a little banter moment. And then it's like Dennis and Sam go at each other a little bit, like just banter, nothing serious, just playful banter. And it's like, is it weird? Then he goes to Nell, is it weird that I'm your boss now? And then Nell says, it's weird that either of you are bosses to anyone. And then when she asks where she's being assigned to, crime beat, whatever beat, he says dead beat. And then she's like, obituary? She doesn't like that answer. But that's where she has to start because, like, you know, she left her career and now she's starting over. I don't know what she did those 5 years in London, but yeah. It cuts to a scene after she finds out she's in obituary to her and Sam getting coffee outside their workplace. As they get their coffee and sit down, we see Lexi walk by, but she calls her Scotch Tape.
Okay, that's funny. Hey, yo, Scotch Tape.
Yeah, and then Sam says we can't call her Scotch Tape anymore. She's our boss, and also she and I have become work friends. Yeah. No, does not like that. I just want to point out, Nell is very spirally. Okay. And, like, she's trying so hard not to discuss the fact that her engagement broke off, she's no longer getting married, and she's back home starting over. So all this new information about things changing, she's not handling it well at all. She gets better, but it cuts to, like, it's quickly cuts to next scenes a lot. That's the only thing I didn't like about this episode. It gets, like, the episodes onwards are a little bit better, but this feels like, so, like, it went from her learning that she's an obituary to boom, that her and Sam are getting coffee, cut to she's back home after a work day. So Ashley's back home in her apartment. She's eating a box of chocolate. She assumes her roommate, who she calls passive aggressive, got for her because it's her birthday. But in reality, it's for his girlfriend that he was going to bring her because he was driving, I want to say, up to San Diego to see her. Okay. I'm not good with geography. Oh my gosh. Anyway, later that night, they go out to a bar to celebrate Nell's birthday because she's turning 38. It's supposed to be her, Sam, and Dennis, but an unexpected guest stops by, their boss, Lexi. So that's a turn of events. But before that happens, she's at the bar waiting for them, and like she's talking to this old guy, and she's like, "You young people are so glued to your phone." And she's like, "I'm sorry, I'm trying to see if my ex would text me or message me or whatever, happy birthday," but he hasn't. And he's like, "You know, the best way to get over someone is to get under someone."
Oh, the age-old saying.
Yep. So then she kind of just like, thanks for the like wise advice or whatever. And then that's when they walk in. And when she looks back, he's gone. Blah, blah, blah. So as they're taking shots, getting lit, Lexi and Dennis are doing a karaoke thing, like they're duetting together with karaoke. And that's when Nell goes, "I didn't realize how close you and Lexi are. You guys are actually friends. She's like, "Yeah, we are." We also learn that Sam and Lexi potted together during COVID for a week. So like, you know, they're good friends. Like they're in their kids. They were for a whole week. And that's when Sam told Lexi, like, got real with her. And it's like, "You can be a lot. You're out of touch with the everyday people," because Lexi's rich. So like Sam brings her down to earth.
Keeps her grounded. Cool.
Keeps her grounded. Like she's still Lexi, but her and Sam have this connection, and like Nell doesn't like that. So after they're done, Dennis and Lexi are done karaoke, she goes, "Woo, give it up for Scotch tape and Dennis." And then Lexi's like, "Who's Scotch tape? You are, you know, because you're so stuck up. And at one point you yelled so loud across the bullpen, you sounded Scottish. Come on." And then she starts laughing. "Come on, you think it's funny? It's funny." And Lexi's like, "Excuse me, I've got to grab my bag," and leaves. And then Nell was just like, "Let's take shots." And obviously the night dies down because of that. So she's back home drinking more of her hard seltzers. And all of a sudden, who's in her apartment? The guy that she was talking to at the bar.
How'd he get there?
He's a ghost. He's dead. He's, I've got, like, I bypassed this.
Are you, what?
Her first obituary is of Monty Waxberg, some guy who died whose most famous thing is a bubblegum jingle he made up. But that's who she was talking to at the bar, and that's who's at her apartment. She can see the ghost of the people she's writing the obituaries for. What? We don't know why. There's no, like, explanation as of yet that I've watched, of why she can see them. But we've come to, like, by the end of the episode, you come to the conclusion they're there because they have semi-unfinished business, nothing too major.
Maybe she's the type of medium that's the type of
empath. And... and they're kind of
connect with them on a certain level, certain waves. She can see their dead bodies. She's writing their obituary. She has to connect with them.
Yeah. So, like, they're there for like one final minor unfinished business, like something they want to do before they're gone. And then they kind of teach her a lesson along the way. So this entire episode, she's really is in a spiral, like depressed. Like, as much as she's trying to have it together, she doesn't. So she freaks out that she sees him, and she's like, I don't see dead people, because she realizes who it is. You're the guy I'm supposed to write the obituary for. So she's like, I'm going to my room, and I'm putting all my boxes in front of the door. And then it cuts to her waking up the next morning, and he's laying next to her in bed. He's like, good morning. She freaks out again, grabs the vacuum, like she's trying to suck up the ghost. Her roommate knocks on the door, like, what's going on? And that's when Monty says, by the way, you're the only one who can see me. And then he goes, the roommate says, are you going to clean up all those blown up condoms? Because I guess during that process, she was just blowing up condoms because she was so drunk. She's like, Of course I am. What do you think the vacuum's for?
She's gonna vacuum up all the
cars. Yep. So then Nell decides to go for a walk. She's still in her pajamas, still like disheveled, however you say the word. She's going for a walk and the ghost is following her. She goes off on the ghost saying that he had a miserable life. He's had a miserable life, and she's like, you're a twice divorced musician who wrote one jingle that made her hate bubblegum. He then tells her, I've been around you for 24 hours and you're no prize, that she drinks too much, she's jealous of other people's happiness, and she runs away when things get tough. And after he says that, she walks away. He's like, you see, you're running away. She was trying to call Sam, but missed her call. So Sam left a voicemail saying, last night was a lot. Lexi's our boss now, and more importantly, she's been a really good friend to me. You need to find a way to apologize to her. So as that's going down, Nell and the ghost are going back and forth still a little bit, and then she listens to the voicemail. We cut to, I'm telling you, they cut, like, I get it. It isn't like choppy, but I'm just like, I guess to me, the scenes feel a little bit too quick, and then all of a sudden we're on the next scene.
So they do too many transitions?
I think. I get it, because they're trying to tell the whole story, but I feel like this, I don't know, I just think it could have been less transitions and more of like building the characters in this episode, because we really only learn about Nell and get snippets of the others. Like, we really don't know much about Dennis at this point in the pilot.
Maybe the pilot was built that way for a reason, and the next couple episodes will be character building. Maybe they were trying to put in so much, that way they didn't have to rush the ending episodes.
Yeah, which is, I can see that's how it's going, but I also feel like where it's starting isn't where the series will like end or become.
Okay.
Like, I feel like it's still finding its footing, but in a good way, because they technically let me look it up. They had like the most, it was the most watched comedy in like 4 years on ABC apparently.
Okay.
Which was what? Because, oh, so side note, so Home Economics ended. It was cut short so they could premiere this show for the mid-season premiere.
That's why there hasn't been an episode.
Yeah, Home Economics season finale was that earthquake episode. But this, even before, like, ABC already knew they're only giving Home Economics 13 episodes this season, regardless. Not even because of this, not dead yet, just in general. So that's why, like, either it would have been a season finale, a mid-season finale, or whatever. And or hope not series finale.
Excuse me.
But yeah, Not Dead Yet became ABC's most watched comedy debut in over 4 years when it premiered on February 8th.
That's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't know, unless it stays consistent, maybe it'll automatically get a season two. But it's a cute show, and I get it. I feel like, I think they're trying to lean into comedy more, and I think it needs to be more of a comedy drama. Because when it gets to the little serious moments, it's really good. But then it's like, you can see it's trying to be more funny than like sad, which I get. But also, you're doing a show about writing obituaries, you know?
Yeah, and I kind of get it. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Yeah.
And the title sequence is, it says like, not grown up enough, not this enough, not this, blah, blah, blah. And then then the last one you'll see is Not Dead Yet type thing. So it's like, not this yet, not this yet, or, and then Not Dead Yet. It's like, it's cute. I get it. But anywho, I'm getting sidetracked.
No, you're talking about the show. That's a good thing.
I know.
You're informing me.
Nell goes to apologize to Lexi. Half-assed apology. Lexi calls it out. And then, like, she's like, I brought you donuts. And then she's like, are you sure these aren't for the break rooms? A few of them have bites taken out of them because it said break room on the box.
Okay.
And then, so, like, after the half-ass apology, Lexi's like, obviously you have something to say, so say it. And Nell's like, no, it's okay. So Lexi's like, let's play a game. We each have 30 seconds to tell each other whatever we want. No repercussions. So that's when basically they tell each other how they feel, and the truth comes out. Nell basically just goes on this whole thing. I'm basically like, I don't think you're a good enough friend, good enough good enough to be Sam's friend. She's the whole spiel. And then Lexi's like, you had a promising career and threw it away to follow love. She like basically reads her. Because she's like, I didn't want to hire you back. It was Dennis begged and I said no. And it wasn't until Sam said, you really need this. And I said, yes. You have this job because she's my friend, but you'll lose this job if you mess up. Type thing. Like she'll be the first one to go.
To me, it sounds like a toxic trait.
Nah, I mean, you gotta watch it.
She sounds toxic.
I didn't like write verbatim their whole like little qualm because I was like, I don't want to spoil it too much, but it's not bad. Because like Nell tells her stuff.
Dedicated to spoilers. If you haven't watched the show yet and you're listening to the podcast, that's your problem.
But also, maybe I want you to watch it. So
I'm gonna watch it. It's on my list. But remember, I'm doing episodes, I'm also doing episodes. Watching the shows on my side and writing about them too. So like we're getting the best of both worlds because you're doing like comedies and dramas and TV series, and I'm doing Marvel and this and that and Disney and all this other stuff. So we're getting this before, but it's on my list. It's on my list.
It's good. I would like to see where it goes. But anyways, after this little back and forth, we're back at Nell's apartment, and she's realizing. I think she's realizing, but she's not letting it sit that that she can't pick up where she left off. That things have changed and. She can't just jump back into her promising career that she had. She's got to start over. Saying a whole lot of things. And then Monty, he's there. And he's like, I can't listen to you whine and complain anymore. He's like, I'm either going to smother you with that pillow. Because she has a pillow over her head at this point. Or we're going to go out. And then she just says, smother me. And then we cut to them at a restaurant. Nella's second guessing why they're there. Because she's alone and she's like, I think everyone's judging me and looking at me like, why is she here in this beautiful restaurant all alone? Then that's kind of like where they have a heartfelt moment because she's like, my life's a mess. And he's like, that's okay. My life was a mess for X amount of years. I really didn't get it together until this time frame. I met my wife. I did this. I did that. And then we realize why Monty actually wants to go there. Because his wife's there. So,
Interesting.
Yeah, because, he's like, look at that lady over there. She's enjoying herself, and and just living her life. But Nell makes a little slide comment, like, yeah, with that atrocious necklace she had on. And Monty's like, or she could be wearing it because her husband gave it to her. And that's when Nell realized, that's your wife. And then, she's like, she doesn't break down crying. She just starts tearing. I was like, I'm so sorry. I can't seem to get it together. And Monty's like, I would love to tell her, I wish I had the chance to tell her one last time how beautiful she looks. And then, so Nell decides to go up and be like, this might be weird, but I just want to let you know you look beautiful and your necklace is beautiful. And she's like, basically sentimenting what Nell felt. This necklace is hideous, but my husband gave it to me, and it reminds me of him, and it brings me peace.
That's cute.
And then that's when I was like, this might be a weirder question. Do you mind if I join you for a glass of wine? And she's like, only if you make it tequila. And they introduce, she's like, so I'm now. And then she goes, I'm Cricket. Cricket's her new friend she makes, who has the wine bar.
Okay.
And then so they're drinking and talking, and then we get a monologue, and then we realize the monologue is her writing Monty's obituary. And then because they're back at the office the next day, as she's finishing it up and her boss is reading it, he said, I'm not gonna tell you it's great or whatever, because then you're gonna want to start a union. I'm just gonna upload it. And then, Monty's there, too. She's like, don't let those kind words get to you, old man. But then she looks, and he's gone. He's moved on, is what I'm going to assume. There's never, a moment where, I see a light thing, Ghost Whisperer. They fade away. And then that's when he goes. But also, just during this montage, you see a little bit of all the characters. And that's when you learn that Nell and Cricket are now new friends because they went out another night together.
Okay.
Then after she hands him the obit, he's like, you have another obit. It's of this one lady, and then she pops up. And then Nell's like, okay. And then the episode ends. I watched part of the second episode. So from the first to the second episode, I believe it's been a few weeks because she's got more of a handle on the ghosts coming in and out of her life, because they do like a little montage of all the ghosts that she's seen so far. But I like the show. I think the pilot was good. I don't think it was like the strongest pilot, but from what I've seen so far with the other episodes, each episode gets better.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like a really good show and it sounds funny. And I kind of see as you're explaining it to me and you're breaking it down for me, I can see where it should be a comedy drama and it should lean towards the drama side, especially when it has such sentimental and surreal moments, especially like the moment where before he fades away and he tells her to tell her the words to tell her, his wife or his ex-wife, because he's dead. But I see it, like, I get it, it's a comedy, but there should be a line there where it's be like, yes, we're a comedy drama, because in some moments like this, a sweet heartfelt moment, whereas there's no funny business about it, it's just sweetheart, and it makes you touch yourself, you know, like,
yeah, like tugs at your heartstrings.
Yeah, it pulls at your heart.
Especially with Gina Rodriguez from Jane the Virgin. But yeah, it's really good. I like it. Also, there's a few more guest stars, but a fun guest star, I think it's like in episode 4, Brittany Snow guest stars. And they starred in the Netflix movie Someone Great. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. It's like a
breakup. I've seen like 15 minutes of it.
Such a good movie, dude. It's a breakup movie, but it's such a good movie.
I'll probably have to check it out again.
That one was...
I'll have to sit down and finish it, honestly.
Yeah. It was a good movie. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Someone Great on Netflix. But yeah. So I thought that was cool because it's like a little reunion between them two. But that's not dead yet. It premiered February 8th. I believe it's, since it is a mid-season replacement, they're probably going to have 10 to 13 episodes this season, the most. I don't think we'll find out if it gets renewed till like the end of the season. Because no shows so far besides Abbott Elementary have been renewed for next season. So.
Right.
That's my notes on the pilot episode. It comes out Wednesdays at 9:30, 8:30 Central. Or you can stream the next day on Hulu.
There you go. All right, we'll be right back with the second part of this episode. See you then.